talking and before we hit record, and you're describing something that's happening to you in your 20s that's, it's only going to get worse, and it's happening to me like a lot in my 40s, which is you start telling a story and everybody in your house just gives you this look like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, I know.
And it's happening to me, like it's happening to me more and more and more. And the funny thing is the different reactions of the different kids. Like Anna, well, she's content to just like leave the room. Like if I start telling a story again, she's just like not in a rude way, but like if we're just kind of walking around moving, you know, in conversation, she can just kind of walk away. And Jack will just like, he's at that place where he just likes me a lot. And so he'll just like, he'll just take it in and, you know, be real sweet and stuff. And Nora is just like, she just gives me this look like, yeah, I know. Because this is my sixth trip down this road right here. I already know where the turns are.
That's amazing. Yeah. I asked Maddie this week if she could hear Yoshi when we're recording, and she said, oh, yeah. No, yeah, that I also just, I like stories, I like memories.
Yeah,
that, like, people talk about love languages, mine is you know, I don't think it's really one, but I love making memories and then having them to talk about later.
Oh, that's a cool one. Somebody should, what is it, the five, somebody, there should be six, the six love languages.
I think there's a lot, but I also think that's mine, right? Like, I think having a memory of somebody that we can laugh about our entire life is like,
yeah,
top of my list.
Yeah, just shared experiences.
Yeah, but that's not one.
Like when like the one that you told me that one time of you and Joe just getting really tickled because of the bizarre sound of someone's laugh.
I'll never not. There's a few moments in my life with Joe where we have both, where we have like keeled over laughing, and that one's the top. Like they're always just, they're my favorite.
So one that
that's my love language is laughing until I cry.
So one that you and I have was when we were in Spain at Joventura, and they had invited this guy to give a really boring talk one day.
He was
talked forever. And
I'd block that out.
You forgot?
Yeah. No, I just like, it's yeah.
So the if I could set it up, like all the people are in kind of a half circle in different layers around this guy. He's in the center. And so Thomas and I are sitting next to each other on one side of the half circle, looking across this guy at the other side of the half circle. And there's our friend Donnie Boras, who's like one of the most gifted people I've ever known, like in every possible thing. But Donnie, like, it was just in the middle of the day. It was hot. And this dude did not stop talking. And Donnie starts falling asleep. And you had shown me how to do stickers on Snapchat. And so I took a picture of Donnie being asleep. And then like I took another picture of him. And so I overlaid the picture of his head being asleep. But like I blew it up really, really big. So he looked like a bobblehead.
We did that the rest of camp.
Just the rest and of the week.
I'll never forget like airdropping photos send back and forth Miguel. With Miguel.
just Donnie, like, and like the next day Donnie would be up on stage playing his guitar, and I would take a picture of him and then put that sleeping Donnie head on him, like huge bobblehead.
Well, yeah, or you just put it on like Sam or David, and you, like there's David, but Donnie's head is asleep,
or like David Ruperez's little tiny son. We'd put Donnie's giant head on him, like sleeping head.
¿Puede tocar la batería conmigo?
¿Quiere tocar la batería conmigo?
Yeah, he's such a great kid.
Well, like, so I love those things, but I love to talk about them.
Yes.
And I love to share them.
Right.
But unfortunately, for people like my wife, who spends a lot of time with me, she hears them all the time, and she'll just look at me and smile,
oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
Wait, have you heard the... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you sure you've heard it? Because I really want to tell it.
Yeah. I'll just finish anyway. Like, what's going to stop me? Like, we're halfway through a story. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, if you already have the story, if you're like halfway through the story, you're not going to stop telling it.
No, you know? No. And it's funny. Okay, it's because...
Yoshi!
She's like, what? What? Yeah, so there's like a... it's funny. I do that with like 20 stories. Maddie only does it with one. Okay. And it's at me. It's just... It's the funniest thing ever. Yeah, there's a spot... Maddie's mom lives in Clinton, so we drive out there. It's like a town that's 15 minutes up the road from where we live, and
right.
So that's where we take, you know, we go up there and hang out with her. And but one time on her drive home from Cookeville, which is where a city an hour and a half away where Maddie used to live, that like some people hear these town names and are like, well, duh. And some people live halfway across
every
the world.
Podcast. Like, what are you, somebody's first talking podcast.
About? So there's towns around where we live in East Tennessee, and there's a spot where Maddie was driving home. And she was blasting Beyonce.
As you do.
At 11:30 at night. And a deer jumped out and just basically totaled her car.
Oh my gosh.
She just like profusely started crying and drove to the police station. Straight to the police station to tell them about how she murdered a deer. But she'll tell me every time we pass this spot, there's where the deer jumped out. But she'll do it with a smile on her face.
You so casually floated past that.
It's a funny bit of the story. And she'll just tell me every time we pass it, like, that's where the deer jumped out. And then she'll just look at me and smile. And I'm like,
So this is how that feels.
Yeah, this is what this is like.
Yeah. I know. Nora will say, oh, is this the one where daddy da 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 da? And I'm like, oh, stop. Don't tell me you've heard that one. Oh. Come on. You don't.
Yeah. Like, I realize that I sound like Ted Mosby. I'm just like, here, kids, this is, and they're like,
yeah,
dad,
we get it.
Poor Jude. That dude's going to have a heck of a time.
Jude, the dude, is probably just going to have like a time. He's probably just going to give you a timeout signal.
Jude is so chill though. He's probably just going to be like, yeah, let me go pour some tea while I listen to you. Our child is the chillest, just like,
he's a good dude.
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to Ancient and New, a podcast that's been brought to you by Jude the Dude.
Jude.
And the Beyonce loving deer.
Remember those walls I built?
Baby, they're crumbling down. Well, wow, that's topical. Topical lyrics. Psalm 31. I'm just going to read it, and we're both going to do a little
this
mining.
This is one of those where we just both look at the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like Beezer appreciates
these. He does. Episodes. He likes these, and I'm thankful because he'll tell us.
This is for you, Corey.
Yeah.
Psalm 31. This is written by David. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols, because I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. For you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to my enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak because of all my enemies. I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I'm a dread to my friends. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I'm forgotten by them as though I were dead. I've become like broken pottery, for I hear the slander of many. There's terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me. When I was in a besieged city, in my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called for your help. Love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Okay, that was a lot. And there's a lot in there. And
yeah.
And some of this is, some of this you can trace back to moments in David's life where he's speaking from some personal experience. He did get slandered a lot. He did get talked about a lot. He did get hunted down a lot. He was trapped in places a lot, and had to call out on the Lord. And then some of the things that he's talking about, it's, you know, it's like the New Testament makes reference to them, and so you see it. But like, it's like these are some shout outs to things that specifically Jesus went through, and that Jesus, in fact, one place in particular that Jesus quoted, that we know about, when he was on the cross. And so some of this is kind of prophecy for like some things that were going to happen to Jesus, but some of these things were directly things that David went through. Some of these things are things that I've been through, that you've been through, that folks who are listening to this have been through, that, you know, that you've had people malign you and talk about you and treat you in ways that you're just like, I just have to call out to the Lord to protect me and to vindicate me, because I can't do anything about this. I can't stop this from happening. Anyway, and there's a lot of other cool stuff in this too. So like, what's a place where you're, where you kind of like, what's a branch that you light on?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because my first question was going to be for you to try to like wrap it up in a bow, just in case someone was like, I'm not listening to that whole thing, but I want to hear what you have to say about it. Whatever. I don't know if that's a thing that happens, but
we do not include timestamps on this podcast of like, here's the timestamp of when I stopped reading this really long psalm.
Yeah, so thank you for this. You have not ditched us. Anyways, you asked the question, what's a branch that I light on? Thank you for using
bread language. I thought you might like
that. I appreciate it. Migration's about to happen.
I mean, as soon as he said that, he looked out the window and he's like trying to catch a glimpse of a bird.
Yeah, we're about to be in a wonderful time of the year.
It's super Christmas rainy, so the birds are not like chilling in my yard today.
Yeah, not quite as much. But a couple things. One, the initial was the, into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Because, obviously, that's, you know, part of Jesus's last words.
Yeah.
And I just was looking in the the moment you read it, I was like, okay, what happens right before this? What happens right after it? Like, yeah. What's going on? And I, because the prophecies are, they're interesting to me, you know, because David is saying this and it's taken as a prophecy of something Jesus will say. Also David saying it. It's an interesting thing that like, if you try to get, you can get wrapped in the weeds of like, what's going on? Is this just the thing specifically for Jesus to say?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, I'm getting lost in the weeds of it a little bit, but
I mean, not to cut you off, but like, although I am doing that, but there's a,
not to cut you off,
but cutting you off,
but I am cutting you off.
But, you know, I've heard Tom talk about this moment in particular and the fact that, you know, the Psalms are songs. This is the songbook of God's people. They were originally sung. They had melodies. We don't know what they were, but they had melodies. They had meter. They had a song structure. And so people would sing these. They wouldn't just say them. And that's how they memorized them. But that, like, apparently, like Psalm 22, I've heard Tom say, like, you'll see scholars who say that Jesus would have sung this because when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the first verse of Psalm 22.
Right.
And it's extremely likely that he just sang straight from Psalm 22 to Psalm 31.
Right.
That he was just it could be that the whole time that he was But when those things were happening on the cross, you know, the sun went out at noon and he was still on the cross until 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so, like, whenever he started Psalm 22, it could be that, like, for like 40 minutes, he just sang from Psalm 22 to Psalm 31, just,
sure,
you know, in his anguish, in, mm-hmm, in that suffering, just singing the whole time, just kind of singing himself through the pain that he was enduring. And like the idea of, if you have never thought about that before, I would encourage you just to, like, even like push pause on this podcast for a few minutes and think about the idea of the Savior just singing. Mm. What was the sound of his voice? Was he a baritone like Thomas? Was he like a tenor that can sing real high? I mean, like, was he a bass? Like, what was the sound of Jesus's singing, sure, voice? And just the fact that like singing your way through pain and difficulty. And it's just like, it could be that he started singing Psalm 22 and sang all the way through Psalm 31. And so that the last thing that he said was really music.
Right. So, okay. The reason why that, why it caught me this time is it feels like, I don't know how to describe this, but okay. Leading up to this, you have, since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of my name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Like, in the verses leading up to that, David is saying things that are like, hey, these are things that are true about you, and they're awesome things. Like, my rock, my fortress, lead me and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me. You are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Like, those, like, you know, you hear, into your hands I commit my spirit, I instantly think of the cross, right? And right, like, whether he wants us to or not, it makes me feel sad. You know, like, initially, my initial reaction is like, man, I'm taken to that place of Jesus dying and remembering, like, golly, I had to have that happen for me. And which, you know, eventually leads to gratitude and joy because I get a life with him because of it. But just thinking about that from the standpoint of, like, it feels like when David's saying this, it's such a peaceful, like, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to put it to words, but, like, it feels like such a beautiful and wise and, like, a thing that I really want to do. Like, to be able to say, into your hands I commit my spirit. Like, to fully say, okay, you have all of me. It's yours.
Yeah,
I'm committing it to you. Like, I'm giving it all to you because of the fact that you're my rock and my fortress, and I need you to guide me, and you're faithful. Like, these all feel like such really cool professions of faith, yeah, that David is saying right here. Like, I'm going through a hard thing. You are all these things, and it's true. Therefore, you can not just, like, not just my mind and my physical body, but, like, all of me, my spirit, take it. You can have it. You can have every part of me. I'm committing it to you. And, like, whether that's really what's going on here or not, it was interesting to read that outside of the context of, I read this the other day. I'm still doing, like, the Psalm a day, and the same thing happened to me. I was like, this is really cool. And, you know, I know this is here, just like Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like, you know, those things are there, but to take a moment and chew on that as a, you know, outside of the context of the cross, it did something in me. I just thought it was a sweet,
yeah.
Help me express what,
well,
I'm saying.
Well, I think there are so many, this is one of those songs where you have a really strong difference in what the situation is and the way it feels and what this dude's determined response is.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation is, I'm under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do about it. Like, I'm getting waylaid by people who are just treating me in unbelievable ways.
Right, which is like that, you know, you line that up with Jesus' situation.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what's
it's
happening
just like,
to him.
I'm like, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I'm a dread to my friends. Like, people conspire against me, you know? And it's, and like, there are people like that are pursuing me, and not in a good way. People that are, yeah, just the way that they talk about me, the way that, you know, it's just like he's in all these things. And if I experience that kind of stuff, my response is to be really sad, really upset, really overwhelmed, and not, and, you know, honestly, just not know how to handle it.
Right.
But, and so that's his situation. That's his situation is bad. I'm in a besieged city. People are talking about me. People are lying about me. People are conspiring and pursuing me in not a good way. And then his response is, I trust you. I hide in you. I give myself to you exactly as you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like that's, and that's a determined, intentional response. And it causes him to say things that are really, really cool. Like, he says, you have not handed me over to the enemy, but you've set my feet in a spacious place. It's like, well, where are you getting that?
Yeah.
You know? And so, and I feel like it's as a result of that, like there's a couple of places in here, like he's saying, like he starts the whole psalm out by saying, I take refuge in you. And he ends the whole thing by telling other people, guys, he says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So he starts out like he's in a terrible situation. And we all know how that feels to be in a terrible situation. And your natural response to that. But instead of that, he has a determined response, which is, I'm going to hide in the Lord. He ends the psalm by saying, y'all should do that too. Like, be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. In the middle of the psalm, like pretty smack dab in the middle of it, is verse 15, where he says, okay, so in verse 14, he expresses the trust. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. And then this is such a cool verse. My times are in your hands. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's the bow that I light upon the most.
Yeah, that's cool.
For me, it's a, my times are in your hands is a, that is a kind of lifetime calibration that I need. So like Anna the other day, she has this like, she gets this thing at the grocery store in the frozen food section. That's like, it's like these like chicken and cheese taquitos, like from a specific brand that she likes. And like, she loves to eat those things, but you like, you know, you heat them up there. They live in the freezer and you heat them up in the oven. And she was like leaving rehearsal from the musical one day a couple weeks ago, and she was like, Dad, she had looked on like the Life 360, like where you can see where people in your family are based on their phone. And she was like, Life 360 says you're at home. I'm coming home from rehearsal. I'm starving. Like, I'm gonna die.
That sounds like Anna.
Yeah. People in my family are like, it makes sense that we're big in the theater because the exaggeration is strong. But she was like, I'm dying. I'm literally starving. So could you do me a favor? And I'm like, what? And she said, could you preheat the oven for taquitos? And could you tell me if we have taquitos in the freezer? So I look in the freezer. I'm like, taquitos is a check. We're go for taquitos. And she was like, can you preheat the oven? I was like, I already said it. And just like the effusive emojis that I got from that, just the hearts, the face that's surrounded by hearts, the little face that has the kissy with the heart coming out of it, and the thank you in all caps. It was just very Anna. It was very sweet. But the reason I thought of that little story was, have I told you that one before?
No.
Okay, good.
Wow. Yes. Yep, you have.
Oh, shoot.
Yep. You have.
Oh, Maddie. Oh, man. Maddie's probably like, even I've heard that one. In any case.
Matthew like, Ruiz is like, even I've heard that.
But I tell you that whole thing to say, like, preheating the oven. Then as soon as she walks in the house, she's ready to cook. Mm. She's ready to make the food. So there are certain things, and I stole this from Tom like a thief, but there's certain things that I've been collecting on a, I've got a note in my phone of like calibrations. They're settings on the oven for me to go ahead and start preheating. Like as soon as I wake up in the morning, I need to preheat the oven. I need to set it to this so that I'm ready to cook today. I'm ready to go. At any moment's notice, I can make taquitos. But the real thing is, at any moment's notice, I can handle a difficult thing. Yeah. And one of those calibrations, one place that I have to preheat the oven to is my times are in your hands. That's like, it was kind of like the life verse for Betsy Tim Boom, who, like, if you don't know, there was a family of Dutch, like, watchmakers and watch repairers in Harlem in the Netherlands. And at the beginning of the Holocaust, beginning of World War II, when the Nazi Germany, like, they took over Holland, took over the Netherlands, and, you know, and started rounding up Jewish people and sending them to camps, concentration camps and stuff. And there was this family of Christian watchmakers, Casper Ten Boom and his daughters and his son, and like his grown daughters who were unmarried, in their 50s, they started hiding people in their house and getting them out into the countryside and away from the city, and they hid and transported like hundreds of people out to safety and away from the camps. And there were so many times where they came like face to face with like some real scrapes. Like one time, like a bomb landed near their house, and some shrapnel from the bomb went through Betsy's window and onto her bed and like pierced like her pillow. But she had gotten up and left her bedroom before that. And Corey saw it and was like, "Betsy, look, if you hadn't have gotten out of your bed, that would have been you." And Betsy was like, "Don't be silly. Like, I could never have been anywhere but exactly where he had me."
Right. There are no ifs in God's kingdom.
Yeah, there are no ifs in God's kingdom. And her thing was this verse, my times are in his hands. Like, whatever he wants to do with me, that's his prerogative. And I am always exactly where he wants me to be. That's a calibration that I've got to preheat the oven to that. And if I do it, I'm ready to face the day. I'm ready to face these difficult relational things. I'm ready to face like difficult situational things. My little sister asked me today, "Where's Anna going to school?" And I was like, "No idea." She was like, "It's almost March." Yesterday, today's Wednesday. Yesterday Tom was like, "Where's Anna going to school?" I was like, "I don't know." And he was like, "It's almost March." And I was like, "I know." And I was just like, but I have to like, it's like she's doing this at her, she's going through this process at her speed, but like, if I'm not going to get swept away by the stress or the anxiety of that, I have to preheat the oven at the beginning of the day before the situations happen. My times are in his hands. My times are in his hands. Like, and I have to walk through the day with that thing. He starts the psalm out by saying, "I am hiding myself in God." He ends the psalm by saying, "Hey, y'all too, like trust in the Lord." And right in the middle of it is this calibration of like, and remember, our times are in his hands.
That's cool. I mean, I think the thing that, there's two things that I would, to answer your initial question, three, I guess, because I already said one, but that, like, what am I lighting on? And one, this is just my gimme with Psalms by David, and it's always his ability to talk himself out of what he's feeling.
That's great.
And it's never with, like, fluff. It's never like,
no, yeah,
"You're doing good, you're doing good, you're doing good," like when you're doing terrible. He's never saying, "I'm doing good, I'm doing good, I'm doing good, I'm good." He's always, "I'm doing bad, but this is true about God." And then he finds a way to grab it.
It's not cotton candy positivity.
No, it's really cool. And then my second thing is, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Okay, so what I love about that is the idea that, like, when I'm going through a hard thing, when I try to fight it on my own, it's not a spacious place. It's crowded. It's it's not peaceful at all. When I'm asking the what ifs, when I'm trying to make sense of it on my own, when I'm trying to convince myself of whatever the thing is on my own, it's not spacious. When I do get to a place where I feel this way about God and whatever I'm going through, it becomes spacious because there's no room for all those things anymore. it's crowded when you start asking why and what if and how and what am I going to do to all the things like when I'm trying to convince myself, like when you're going through a situation when things are hard and somebody is has something against you and you are constantly trying to convince yourself how right you are and how wrong other people are and you know like that that thing and like that's crowded. It takes up all your brain space. It is tiresome. It's burdensome. When I can get to a place in situations like that, when I say what basically he's saying here, like, hey, you're in control. You have this. I'm letting you take my spirit, all of it. You can have it. You're going to get me through this because of all this. When I can get there, it becomes spacious. My mind is spacious. The way I walk about my day, the way I think, the way I feel, there's space for other things.
Yeah,
there's peace. There's
That's the word I was thinking. Right, like you're describing peace.
It's so funny. Like I'm such a like. I don't know the right way to describe who I am, other than like I like the outdoors. Like that's a very generic way of saying that. But a lot of times,
I've never heard that about you.
Okay. a lot of times, I just hit you with the Doug Heffernan. I love the King of Queens. Oh my word. But okay, so a lot of times my thought life, I equate it to a sunrise in a calm field. That sounds silly, but like that's what I can picture. Am I there right now? That is like where I feel like I'm in a spacious place, like quote unquote spacious place. When I feel at peace, when I feel free, when I feel light, when I'm fully trusting the Lord. Like that artsily, however you want to describe that art, I don't know. Like that's where my mind goes when I'm in a spacious place. For you, everyone else listening to this is probably like, what the heck is he saying? But in my mind, it makes sense. And when I'm not there. I'm not in a peaceful, open field with birds singing and the sun rising. And
you're like in a hoarder's living room.
But that's also peaceful for me. I don't know why.
A hoarder's living room?
Yeah.
Like in what respect?
Okay, hoarders. Christy gets this about me. Your wife, Christy.
Okay,
this is so funny. Like, but like being in a Pottery Barn or a Hobby Lobby or an elderly person's home with a lot of things feels really safe to me. That's not mentally. Like I'm describing mental and physical. Physically speaking, you drop me in a Pottery Barn, and there's a little bit of music playing, and everything is well made and. It's like a really crowded living room and they're trying to get you to like buy potpourri, this. Patchouli. Yeah. Like that. I'm like, all right, leave me here for an hour while you shop. Like that's where I want to be. Mentally. It's not mentally. Don't put me in a hoarder's living room. Physically drop me in a place that looks like an I Spy book and I feel safe.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so condescending. Everything I've said, someone's going to listen to this and say, I'm never listening to this podcast again because that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I just derailed this whole thing.
That was so funny.
Mentally, my mental thought process of what's a spacious place is different than my, or like,
yeah,
it's different in my mind. I'm talking about safety and peace.
Yeah.
Mentally, when I can look into my mind and say like, I'm on a walk in a meadow at dawn with the sun rising, there's mist and there's birds singing. I'm like, that's mentally where I go when I feel like I'm at peace.
Right.
Physically on this earth, if you want to get me there, put me in a Pottery Barn or a Hobby Lobby, somewhere that's crowded with trinkets and gizmos galore.
That was so unexpectedly strange.
Isn't that not a quote from The Little Mermaid?
Trinkets, gadgets and gizmos.
Gadgets and gizmos galore. Yeah, we just lost half of our listeners.
The only reason I got today's Wordle was because of The Little Mermaid. That's the only reason. Otherwise, this is my beef with the New York Times. When does anyone ever use the word trove?
Treasure trove.
Yeah, but
it's the only thing I could think of.
Exactly, but you don't use it. Nobody's using the word trove.
Listen, dude, the New York Times has us all by the scruff of the neck, and they're saying... This is going to be so hard, but you won't quit.
You won't quit.
Until they ask for my credit card, I'm not going to quit, which stinks because I complain about it every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did they make this so hard on me? I just want to have fun with my friends. But yeah. Now it takes me 6 guesses and I'm sweating. But when I get it, it's like,
yeah, let's go. Cool. Look at what I have created.
Spike my phone.
I have made fire.
It's Tom Hanks in Castaway. Absolutely. Yes. Guys, thanks for listening. This has been Ancient and New. I am Lee.
I don't know, man. I don't know if we can sign out.
And Thomas is in a hoarder's living room.
I'm struggling.
Feeling so excited.
I'm not. I just tried to describe 2 separate things, and I just... insecure about this episode.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Bye.
I am lost. I know not where I run or where I walk. Been strung out on this road for far too long. I am lost. And I am low. Where did all the joy inside me go? I'm out here all alone, I'm in the cold. I am low. I don't have direction, I need love, I need protection, I am low. Savior picked me up, turned me around. He called my name, that captivating sound. I am found. I am found. I am found.
One, two.
What you did, not what I do, made me new. And I am chained. My whole life is up and gone away. Even when I feel and look the same, I am chained. Because I have a Savior and all my to pay for, I am chained. Because I have a Savior and all my sins are paid for, I am chained. And I am new. No matter what I've done or what I do, although I keep forgetting that it's chosen. I am yours. You bought me, I am broken, but it's me that you have chosen. I am yours. At the moment when we thought all hope was lost, you took my debt away, you paid my cost at the cross. I am free.
chains unbound, my hands and feet. I am free. You love me, you're my father, you're my bread and living water. I am free. You love me, you're my father, you're my bread and living water, I am free. You love us, you're our father, we are sons and we are daughters, we are free.